It's all good, though, man. We are here to stand on business. Y'all know how we rocking here, Lakers Nation. Shout out to the NBA community and welcome back, boys and girls, to Lakerland. This is the podcast, episode number 6, and we are in the building. Shout out to everybody out there, man. Seven, Mitchell, Cole, Hank. We rapping, we rocking. We got an unbelievable episode for you guys. Y'all know how we do here in Lakerland, so shout out to you guys. Make sure y'all continue to support the platform. We are growing by the day. We definitely appreciate the support. We got an unbelievable episode this afternoon. Hank, Cole, appreciate you for joining me as always. What's the word? How y'all fellas doing this Saturday?
Doing good, doing good.
Feel amazing.
Yeah, we've witnessed some pretty interesting basketball on different levels this week. You know, we talk about the Lakers and the NBA. We coming down the stretch. Play-in is right around the corner. Playoffs are right around the corner. Cole, how are you feeling about the Lakers' play right now towards the end of the season? How are we kind of gelling? What's your thoughts?
I feel like the offense is clicking right now, which is amazing. We finally have a lineup. Where we put five people out there that can create their own shot in our starting five. And I feel like we have, in terms of defense, we have some games where we can just lock up elite players, but in the other games, we just get burned by those fast-footed guards, you know?
That's a fact. That's all facts. Hank, what about you, bro? What's your thoughts on how the Lakers are playing right now? And in addition to that, what's your thoughts on Darvin Ham, the coaching or lack of coaching that's happening with him? What's your thoughts on him right now?
Well, we talked about it briefly last night. The Lakers are playing pretty good this second half, really well, actually. They, you know, in any other year, probably they'd move up in the standings some. But, you know, this is a tough West division this year, Western Conference. And, you know, they're doing well. And I see that if they can win, like I told Cole last night, they can win 4 out of 5. I think they could possibly move into that 6th spot. So that would be great for them to get out that play-in tournament. As far as Darvin, I mean, I think he's doing okay. He's safe. I think especially if he gets into these playoffs, he's going to be here for another year or so. So yeah. I think he's okay.
No, I agree with you 100%. You spoke on the Lakers and this play-in playoff type of scenario. A pretty big win yesterday for the Lakers, even though we were home and off. But you had the Pelicans who lost to the Spurs. You had the Kings who also took an L to the Boston Celtics last night. So the Lakers are now tied for 8th in the Western Conference. They're one game back, fellas, from the actual 7th seed. The Lakers can move into 8th and a half a game back of the 7th seed with a win versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. So pretty interesting weekend for the Lakers, potentially to move up a little bit. When you look at this situation, the scenario, Cole, where do you think ultimately the Lakers are going to end up? What number as far as positioning in the West?
I think right at 7. I think we're going to end at 7, but we're going to be like one game back from 6. I think that's how it's going.
We're definitely play in. There's no playoffs. We're not getting those top 6 spots.
It's a possibility, but the teams we have to play are really tough and really bad matchups.
Yeah. And we're going to need some luck. We're going to need help.
You're going to need luck for this run. Even though we've been winning as of late, you're going to need luck for the rest of this stretch. Right.
So you got them at 7, and if they are at 7, that means they would have a home game for the play-in, and if they win, they would go into the playoffs as the 7th seed? I believe. Yes. Mm-hmm. So they would have to face the 2nd seed in the first round, which I would think would be who? OKC?
I believe so. If Denver
holds it, I think it'll be OKC versus the Lakers. If the Lakers were to advance from the play-in from the 7th seed position, it will be a home game. What about you, Hank, bro? Where do you ultimately see the Lakers falling when this is all said and done as far as standings?
Somewhere where around what Cole was saying, that 7 or even 8th spot, which is what I've been talking about with you guys. I feel they need to definitely get there because this one game elimination is dangerous. You get no other chances. So 7-8 gives you another chance to get a crack at the playoffs. But again, if we can get play-in tournament Lakers, they're going to get the sixth spot because they're going to win all their games. And then I think they'll get the sixth spot.
No doubt, man. I'm hoping that, you know, it doesn't take all the gas out of these guys. I hope they are still pacing themselves. I hope they do understand the moment, and I hope that they do understand that there's plenty of basketball to be played if they are executing and playing well. Do y'all have any concern about LeBron gassing out or burning out? Because I don't really see that from him this late into the regular season. He still seems to have some in the tank. A little slow, but do y'all have any concerns about fatigue going into this final stretch for LeBron?
Not really. And if he starts to get fatigued, I think we should just load manage him that game against the Grizzlies because that's pretty much a guaranteed win. So I think we just load manage him that game if there are any signs of fatigue. But right now, I don't have any really concerns about it.
Yeah, I think that he looks pretty good throughout the year so far. He hasn't taken a lot of games off. He's right. Taking what he's needed. And he's probably doing the Jordan approach. Jordan told Kobe, you can load managing games. You just got to know how to pace yourself. So they've been doing it in the league before. They just did it inside the game, you know?
Right. Cole, what about you when it comes to Darvin Ham as far as what we've been seeing within the last, 30 days? What's your impression on Darvin Ham? Because the team has been rocking and rolling for the most part. Are you accrediting that more to the players or are we giving Darvin Ham some credit within this last month?
The only credit I'll give Darvin Ham is with that last game, him knowing how to pair our guards, like pair our backup guards with our starting guards, and him actually playing Jackson Hayes, how he's supposed to be played. But yeah, that's pretty much the only credit I'll give him. I think most of the credit goes to our starting lineup just playing elite offensively. Like, I think our lowest scorer on our starting lineup is Rui, and he's been averaging like 17 over this stretch. So I really can't give him a whole lot of credit, but you know.
Right. Who scares you the most in a possible 7-8 scenario for the play-in, Cole? The Pelicans or the Sacramento Kings, given that the game will be in crypto?
We still haven't beat Sacramento.
Yeah.
So maybe Sacramento. Yeah. We've blown the Pelicans away, but we haven't beat Sacramento.
You agree, Hank?
Yeah. AD going to have to break that curse against a bonus.
Yeah.
But definitely, I would rather them be at crypto than over there with the Light the Beam Stadium. They might get chased out of there. But definitely Sacramento.
I don't see Phoenix falling off, fellas, to be honest, towards the end of this regular season. But their record is identical with New Orleans. So you can put the Phoenix Suns in that pot as well as teams that you're hoping to fall to the wayside. Because they currently, I believe, have the sixth spot. But they have the same record as New Orleans. So if luck was to go well, the Lakers could possibly trump Phoenix. But, you know, I don't think that they are playing as subpar as the Pelicans and, you know, the Sacramento Kings. Then you got Golden State trying to climb into this thing right now. It looks like they got that 10th spot solidified and stamped.
Another thing as well, Brandon Ingram is injured. That's why they missed getting.
And isn't Zion hurt or no?
I don't think so.
He's like kind of hurt, like those injuries. But Brandon Ingram is injured. He's out.
So they're done. They're done overall. But can they lose enough games this week for it to, you know, help us out? We'll have to see.
Phoenix is going to play them soon. So that'll be maybe a knockout game. Phoenix is going to play them, the Clippers. Twice, Sacramento. They can knock Sacramento out, and then Minnesota.
Yeah, Phoenix,
so Phoenix can make some damage.
Or they could skid right here as well, though.
The Suns.
Yeah, they played the Clippers twice. They played New Orleans and Sac.
Wow. Lakerland, y'all let us know in the comment section, where are the Lakers going to ultimately wind up in the Western Conference standings? We are looking at probably the seventh position, excuse me. What's your thoughts? Let me, Cole, and Hank know. This is Lakerland Podcast, episode number 6. We are in the building, man. Make sure you guys smash that like button. Do remember, we are live with the watch parties for all Laker games. So come on over to our playback room for our exclusive VIP Laker watch parties. That's playback.tv/Lakerland. Come over and kick it with us as we rock and roll for all the Laker games. About to get into our next topic here on the Lakerland Podcast, episode number 6. Shout out to the supporter. Sensation is in the building. Sensation say he got the Lakers probably finishing at 8th, falling to the Sacramento Kings. So the Lakers got still something to prove when we talk about this division rival in Sacramento. You know, the fellas brought up AD and his lack of success versus DeMarcus Sabonis, I believe, overall. He's what, 0-9, 0-10?
Something crazy, yeah. Him and Joe.
Yeah.
0-9.
Yep. So we definitely need improvement. Let's get into our next segment here of the podcast. This is our TikTok segment, one of the first TikTok segments we got on the podcast today. This is a continuation of one we had earlier. We kind of got Hank stumped on the first one, Cole. So we're about to spin the block again with our TikTok segment of who is this NBA player. I'm about to throw up a couple visuals on the screen of NBA players of their childhood, and we're going to figure out who these NBA players are. Let's start off with this one. Hank, who is this NBA player?
I like Andre Iguodala.
Okay, you got Iggy. Cole, you agree? You disagree?
That's Iggy.
That's Iggy? Yeah, that's definitely Iggy.
You just tell by
he still looks like that.
That's a fact. That little goofy grin. Yeah. Shout out to Andre Iguodala. All right, Cole, I got one for you. Jack, who is this former NBA player?
Former?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
I had to be a little bit detailed. I didn't want to just throw it out there like they were active. This is
Can you give a clue? What team?
I'll give a clue. I'll give a clue. He's still in the game today.
He's still in the game today.
Absolutely.
So why do you say former?
Because he's not a player. He's not active. That's another clue.
Mm. Oh, I got you. I can see now. I see it.
You see it?
I see it.
Come on, Cole. You got this, Jay.
I see it. Take the hair off.
Who, Jason Kidd? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jay Kidd. Is that who you had, Hank?
Yep. As soon as I took the hair off, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can see this. I see it now.
No, I saw this and I was like, is this Cheryl Miller? Like, I was confused.
No. Whoa. Oh, man.
My Cheryl God. Miller?
All right, Hank, I'm coming back around to you. Who is this NBA player?
Current? I mean, NBA now?
Yes. I'm getting them again, Cole. I'm getting them again.
It's so easy. It's so
God, easy. Hank, come on. This is like you blowing 2 free throws.
It's Kawhi again?
Thank you.
Yeah. This still don't look like him, man.
This don't look like Kawhi to you?
Put some braids.
Need them braids.
I don't think he look like Kawhi till he get a teenager.
Yeah, he looked like a little innocent kid. All right, this is the last one. I know Cole isn't going to get this one. I know Hank ain't going to get this one. Lakerland, are y'all going to get this one right? Who is this NBA player?
I know who that is.
Who is that, Hank?
Ops. It's Ops right there.
That is definitely the Ops. No doubt about it.
Legend. No, he's a legend, though. He's a legend.
Truth.
He's the truth.
Ops. Who is this?
We gave you some key.
Is he a Celtic? Like
he's definitely a Celtic.
He's a Celtic.
All time Celtic.
Pierce. This is Paul Pierce.
The truth.
The LA op. Legend, too.
The ultimate op. LA legend, Paul Pierce.
ESPN legend, Paul Pierce.
The work legend.
Facts. All right, y'all, man. We are rocking and rolling. Let's move on here on episode 6 of the Lakerland podcast. Which of these NBA stars is a better fit for the Los Angeles Lakers? Cole, D. Mitch, or Klay Thompson?
A better fit? I'll probably still go D. Mitch.
D. Mitch? Does your answer change if we're talking about this season? Because I'm talking really about like going into next year. Like, you know what I'm saying? But does it change if we're just keeping it this season, if we could plug one of those guys in, if we're keeping it just this season alone, even though we're at the end, who is a better fit for this current team?
I would say D. Mitch.
Still D. Mitch.
He's still an elite shooter, and he has the foot speed at the guard position that we lack, and he's a playmaker as well this season, and he's been playing defense this season as well. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys believe that Donovan Mitchell has it in him to defer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has to do it a little bit in Cleveland. He still get deferred a little bit.
He's been playing
he's the guy in Cleveland. He defers.
If Garland is cooking, he'll defer to Garland.
Yeah, because it's a team game, so you need your teammates. But I'm just saying, we know that he is the best player on that team. He's the go-to guy. Mm-hmm. But when I'm saying defer, I mean literally taking a back seat. What Dwayne Wade had to do, you know, to LeBron, things like that. Do you going into a Lakers team with Anthony Davis and the old LeBron James? Do you think Donovan Mitchell will have what it takes to defer, step back for a while and just allow things to play out? Or do you think that he would go in and try to be number one?
I do, but I don't think he's going to have to. I think LeBron will let him get the ball, to be honest with you.
Okay. Okay.
If D-Mitch is such like a perimeter threat and he's a threat getting to the basket, so that's just easy money for Bron, really.
Yeah.
Or LeBron still gonna get his
touches. He's still going to get his touches no matter what. Because he's going to be on the floor. Sort of like when Gilbert was talking about when KD came to Golden State, Klay Thompson lost no touches. He got actually more. It's going to be the same thing with Bron. Bron's still going to get his touches, but, D. Mitch is going to be D. Mitch.
And Bron
Mitch is not a selfish player, is he? I never got that vibe from him, from watching him.
Mm-hmm. It's just scoring is what he's best at. Yeah. But he's not selfish.
All right. Which NBA star is a better fit for the Lakers, Hank? Dwight Howard or DeMarcus Cousins?
Dwight.
Dwight, why?
I still feel he's I haven't seen him this year, but before he left, he still had what it takes to be a starting center in the league. And not that Boogie couldn't play himself. He still was a good player, but Dwight was still, his off-the-court stuff and maybe behind-the-scenes stuff got him in trouble. So he would definitely help the Lakers, and especially in this postseason when you're going to possibly go against someone like Jokic, you could really use him. So I think that he would be a better fit. Foot speed, the defense is still there, and he could catch the lobs when he needs stuff like that, cleanup work.
His relationship, brothers, with this organization over the years has just been so crazy to me, and I can't pinpoint like what the problem is, because – he's had his downs, but he's had his ups, and he seems to be needed and could be useful with this organization, but they don't never really prioritize getting him even when available. It's like there's some type of personal issue going on between Dwight Howard and the Lakers as an organization. Do y'all have any intel on that, or am I just tweaking?
All you could do is look at the outside stuff. That's all you can do. The court cases, Tia Cooper. Remember, she was with the Sparks. Maybe that was an issue. Things like that.
I forgot about that. You're right.
And also, I think like the reason why we got rid of him last time was also a part of the Westbrook thing. Like it just didn't make sense to have a non-shooting center and Westbrook on the court at the same time. And then all the off-court stuff started. So it was really like, yeah, like you're not coming back.
Right.
You're not coming back. But
cool. Didn't he go to Philly then? Didn't he go to Philly right after there or something?
I think so.
I can't remember.
I can't remember.
I think he did okay there.
Yeah. I remember him in a Philly jersey though, so you might be cooked.
What about these NBA stars, Cole? Which one of these NBA stars is a better fit for the Lakers, Paul George or Kyrie Irving?
You want the truth or you want me to lie to you?
I need the absolute truth for this one.
Paul George, the first.
Why specifically? What are you seeing?
Shooting, defense, a big playmaker that can also handle the ball. He can also, Bron can sit down and he can run with the second unit as well when Bron's tired. We don't have to lean as much on Bron and AD defensively specifically, because now we have Paul George. We'll have to lean on Bron to score 40 going down the stretch, because PG could score 20 in the first half. Like, it.
Shit, in the first quarter?
Off the stars. Right. He takes so much off the stars on both sides of the ball that it just makes sense.
But Cole, my God, the disrespect has to stop. Outside of defense, everything that you label, can't we say the same for Kyrie?
No.
Really?
Because I brought up
defense.
I brought up size and a ball handler.
But Kyrie is got to be probably the top two. Kyrie is definitely top three point guards posting up.
Okay.
So size is not a real deficiency in his game to me. His quickness balanced that out. He getting around anybody.
We're bringing up quickness with Paul George.
I'm just saying, as far as when we're talking about weakness of when you talk about size or lack of size, Kyrie's quickness makes up for that. If you want to use his height as a weakness, his quickness makes up for it. I've never really seen anybody shut Kyrie down or keep him close within some type of area space. He always seemed to get to where he wanted to go. Shooting?
Boston.
I was about to say Boston.
Was he not hurt in Boston?
No, he wasn't hurt. They shut him down.
Thank you. Yeah, here go the link I'm dropping, brother, if you want to join us, if you're able to join us, the link.
But the reason I say by Paul George, like, we see the defensive pressure that Anthony Davis has on him. Mm-hmm. So we can't just be like, defense aside, no, defense is what won this team a championship.
That is true. But what I'm just saying, like, okay, defense is definitely a plus for Paul George versus Kyrie. Mm-hmm. But everything else that Kyrie brings to the table, to me, is just as effectful and impactful for what this Lakers team need. Paul George is a definite plus in the defensive side of things for this Lakers team. But if we didn't have Paul George, I still think our defense is still good enough to win some games and win some series. And if you add this impact, this box office offensive impact that Kyrie got, that helps to me just as much. Paul George ain't better offensively than Kyrie.
Impact is the same.
Of who? Kyrie and Paul George?
Impact on offense, I'll argue it's the same.
I'll say both are good, but you got to go with history. You know, we know that the Kyrie will work with Bron. We've seen that history before. And one thing I would say, Kyrie knows how to win a championship. Paul hasn't done it.
Done it. Okay.
That's true.
Who's a better fit for the Los Angeles Lakers, Cole? Bronny James or Russell Westbrook?
If either end up on the team, I'm leaving Lakerland.
We're going across the street.
Y'all will see my channel turn into a Hawks channel, and I am not playing.
My God. My God. Lakerland? Y'all let us know your thoughts and opinions on which of those NBA stars would be a better fit for this current Lakers team. Let us know in the comments section. We're about to get into our next topic of today. Who has the deepest bag on this Lakers roster? We may have actually discussed this before, but I just wanted to kind of recap and review our thoughts and opinions on which individual on the Lakers have the deepest bag in your opinion. Hank, I'll start off with you, bro.
Your definition of bag is different. What do you mean?
Well, do me a favor and give me your definition, because I'll sit you
I'm talking about offensive moves and things of that nature.
When I say bag, I mean a totality of ball dribble handling, ball dribbling, shooting, defense. All the skill sets is what I consider the bag.
I don't put that. I always put offense in there. I don't put defense.
The Urban Dictionary definition of a bag encases shooting, finishing, dribbling, flashy passes. You're talking about a skill set. That is not a bag. That is not a bag.
See how they want to go at me about my opinion? They ask me what my opinion is, and then they want to shoot it down. Get a real thrill out of this. They get a kick out of this.
The young definition of what a bag is, dribbling.
Let me write this down. Let me write this down for the elders of this NBA community, because we're getting schooled here by the new era of the NBA. So the bag is now considered what again, Cole?
Dribbling. Shooting. Flashy passes.
Mm-hmm.
Finishing.
Mm.
That is the young definition of a bag. That's why we say Kyrie got the deepest bag.
So if I did that, I put D'Lo.
Oh my God! Really?
D'Lo's my answer as well.
Y'all are the most disrespectful people I have ran into today.
I've been
to the barbershop. I've been to the market. I had to go to the shopping center. I've been out this morning. You two are the most, really, based off of what Cole just labeled as what a bag is. You're going with D'Lo.
He's the best shooter on the team.
He's not.
No, like, statistically, like, the best shooter on the team. Like,
okay. Okay.
Best shooter on the team.
Mm-hmm.
What? Top two ball handler? I say he's the best ball handler.
He's the best ball handler.
Top two passer. Any given night, he's the best passer.
No, he's not the best.
Any given night, he's the best passer. It's not crazy. Any given night. But he's top two, right?
He's
top two.
Wait a minute. No, y'all got this wrong.
How?
He can shoot free throws.
He can shoot free
throws. Wait a minute. Dribbling D'Lo is what? D'Lo is what dribbling? One?
Probably one.
Or is it a debatable?
If we're just talking about who got the most dribbling moves, then it's him.
Okay, so D'Lo clearly dribbling.
Best shooter, best dribbler.
Shooting is not clear to me.
He is the only person on the team to have a game where he has 6 3-pointers made, and he has multiple games, and he's the only person to do it on the team.
Yeah, but we just watched LeBron hit 9 threes.
You're right. LeBron did have that freak, whatever.
So...
LeBron did.
You disrespectful to LeBron. The later we get into the season, the worse you get. I'm confused.
LeBron just did it, Seven. I forgot. He just did it.
This is ridiculous.
D'Lo got how many games this season with 6+3s?
So the shooting to me is debatable, but I'm going with LeBron. LeBron, but okay.
No, but Seven, can he out dribble D'Lo? Like, we talking about bag.
No, he can't out dribble. So I gave the dribbling category to D'Lo. Clearly. Shooting, can we say shooting and scoring is the same thing?
No.
Okay, so scoring is not a part of a bag.
No, you're a bag. Like,
How does post-up moves and footwork not be a part of a bag?
Hakeem has a bag.
But that's not a part of that, that's not like that's not
footwork, we put like his footwork with his finishing though. You feel me? Because you gotta set up the shot. So we put his footwork with his finishing, and he has ball handling as a center. He has a bag.
So we're putting footwork into finishing.
Yes.
You're making these rules up as we go, and I'm just wanting to document it.
Everybody on bag Twitter will tell you Hakeem got a bag. Everybody on bag Twitter will tell
you. This is the thing. Okay. I'm not going to disrespect NBA Twitter. I'm going to leave it alone.
Oh, God.
Okay. Flashy passes. You're telling me D'Lo is a more flashier passer than LeBron? All them playback clips we done watched that I got uploaded on Lakerland Clips channel?
I said top two, but any given night, he could be the best passer.
So there's nothing clear about the shooting? There's nothing clear about the flashy passes. You're saying the shooting is clear, but we disagree with the shooting.
I feel Bron got unstoppable moves, but D'Lo might have more moves that he can bring out of the two bag.
It's about the deeper bag. You are now trying to move the goalpost.
I want to stick to your definition of what a bag was. Listed four categories. Dribbling, D'Lo cleared that one. Shooting, we have a disagreement with. Flashy passes, D'Lo is top two, but he's number two. You know he ain't no number one, so he loses that. And finishes, you know D'Lo ain't nowhere near better finishing.
Hold on. D'Lo got a finishing bag. We got to stop. I know LeBron got the English, but he's top two. Let's not. LeBron got the English, but he's top two. Let's stop.
I have LeBron debatably in shooting, clearing and passing, and clearing and finishing. D'Lo only clears one category. So how does D'Lo have the best bag on the Lakers, fella?
It's not debatable shooting. I'm not going to lie. It's not debatable shooting.
Hank, who's the...
We literally just had this conversation. When LeBron shoots a three, we still cringe.
True. But so hold on.
You gotta
be complete, Cole. No. Why are we cringing? We are cringing because of what we've witnessed throughout history of him shooting that shot. If we are going by the percentage of LeBron shooting that shot this season, he's over 40%. There's nothing to cringe about.
D-Lo's 42. That's what I'm saying.
Bronze this year has been pretty good, but historic over these. You know, D'Lo got him as far as if you want to take the 3-point shooting.
He's a better shooter. And he hits more difficult shots.
Big baby in the building. Salute, G. Appreciate that, gang. All right. So, Cole, Hank, are you finishing? Who are you going with, D'Lo or LeBron?
D'Lo.
You think D'Lo is a better finisher than LeBron James?
A bag.
Were you talking about Duncan?
Finishing.
Of course you're a better dunker.
So hold on, because let Cole define what finishing now, because you know he done added footwork into this. So what is finishing to you, Cole? Because what if you at the perimeter? What about Kobe in the fadeaway? Is that a part of a bag?
No, yeah, that's shooting.
Wait a minute. How is fadeaway in what Kobe and Michael was doing considered shooting but not finishing? When you said footwork was a part of
finishes to the basket,
huh?
Finishes to the basket.
Yeah.
He said footwork was a part of finishing from the basket. We saw the footwork of Kobe and Michael out in 12 feet, 13, 14 feet.
A jab pump fadeaway is shooting. But if we're talking about Hakeem, where he's drop stepping, you feel me?
That wasn't all Kobe and Michael was doing. Seriously? Disrespectful.
I didn't say
jab pump. You just said jab and pump. That's all he was doing, bro. Oh man. All right. I'm not gonna argue with your definition. I'll let the fans do it.
Either way, it's a part of shooting. I didn't say that's all they were doing. I said that's a part of shooting.
So if we go to Seven's definition of bag, you say defense. Who you got?
AD.
I was about to say that.
For that category, Anthony Davis. In totality, it's LeBron. There's nothing that LBJ can't do.
That's true.
This season. At a high level, not just can do, because it's a lot of things that all NBA players can do, but I'm just saying at a decent, at a significant level, LeBron can do everything. He's done everything. Stealing, blocking, rebounding, passing, scoring. He's done everything. He's also made a lot of mistakes this season. That's but I'm just saying, that's like, this D-Lo,
if we're talking about a bag.
So if we had Kyrie on the team, and we had Kyrie as a Laker, would you pick LeBron over Kyrie?
As having a bigger bag? No. No.
Oh,
the flashy Cole's definition. Maybe your definition.
According to my definition, still Kyrie. According to Cole's definition, Kyrie. There's nobody in the NBA to me has a bag lot better than Kyrie's. He to me, he has the greatest bag in the league.
Ever. Ever.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I just watched that the USA thing when he crossed Kobe, LeBron, was it Dwight Howard, all of them at the rim?
Oh my God.
Between his legs. Yep. And then hits a spin move immediately James after he taps the ball, then gets to the rim.
Yeah, he was a baby. He was a piece of work. That's a fact. Real quick, just two more segments left to go here in this episode. All right, baby. Fellas, this might take a minute, but one question every NBA team must answer in the playoffs. I just want to go to Western Conference as far as the top 10 teams that are in playoff contention. What one question does each of these teams have to answer from you guys? Let's start off from the top, the Denver Nuggets. Cole, what question does the Denver Nuggets have to answer this playoffs?
Will playoff Jamal be back? Is MPJ's shot blocking fake? Is he still gonna make those ridiculous shots we've seen through the postseason? Is KCP's age gonna catch up with him in the playoffs? Will teams exploit Aaron Gordon's?
They got multiple questions, really. You got that many questions for Denver? Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
I got some questions. I ain't gonna lie.
Hey, they got a lot of work.
So let me make a correction, fellas. Hank, Minnesota right now has number one. They're tied with Denver record-wise, but I guess they got the tiebreaker because Minnesota's right, yeah, okay. So Minnesota's number one, Denver's two, OKC is three. So we got the questions that Cole had for Denver. What about you, Hank? What one question does the Minnesota Timberwolves have to answer in these playoffs?
Are they ready?
Mm.
That's the biggest question. We've been waiting for this for a long time. Cat has been talking about they're the best team for years, even when they was at the bottom. They're going to make that turn. They're finally here. Are they ready to make that jump and be an elite team? Looks like they can be, but will they do it?
OKC, the Thunder, is the third team in the Western Conference. My question that I think the OKC Thunder would have to answer for the playoffs is, what round are you planning on going home? Seriously. Like, I hope they don't really think that they're going to have some type of Cinderella run in the playoffs. So I really just want to know what their expectations is of leaving. That's all I got for the OKC Thunder. What about the Los Angeles Clippers, Hank? I'm going to come back to you for this one. What's the one question the Clippers have to answer in these playoffs?
Do they want to change history?
Hmm.
I mean, we've been waiting for them. They're supposed to play the Lakers in the conference championship. They didn't show up. They keep the injury bug. I mean, you can't really control that. But at some point, you got to force your way to become great. And to bring a championship home to the Clippers would be a great thing. Are they going to do that? The Ballmer spent all the money for them to be great coaches, players. Are you going to show greatness now and bring the championship home?
I agree. Now, I wanted to do this next one myself, but I think we'll get a better response from Cole. Cole, the Dallas Mavericks are the number 5th seed in the Western Conference. What's the one question Kyrie, Luka, and the Dallas Mavericks must answer in these playoffs?
Are you guys going to be efficient? Are you guys going to be efficient? I feel that their defense has shored up with the additions of PJ Washington and Gafford.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that sometimes, like certain games, they're too reliant on threes. So are you guys going to do what it takes to pack the paint if your shot's not falling and hopefully try to get in rhythm? When Luka or Kyrie gets you an open shot, are you going to be able to knock that down at a decent clip? Are you going to be efficient this playoffs?
Yeah, when you look at it, how he just broke it down, I think efficiency is going to be very key because they – those other supporting role players could get a lot of open shots.
Mm.
Mm. Okay, cool. So the number 6 seed is the Phoenix Suns. The one question that I have for the Phoenix Suns is, who's the leader? I want to know. You know, we have, and it's not really about just scoring, but we have Devin Booker, who in any night seems to be able to give you 50, and you have, KD, who can give you, seem to be 30, maybe 40 on any given night. Bradley Beal is still trying to find his way, but I don't know who's the actual leader of this team. You know, even if I include Frank Vogel, the head coach, I don't know who's running the show in Phoenix. So that's my question. Who is actually going to be the leader of this team in the playoffs? Is Kevin Durant going to step up to that responsibility or not? Next up, number 7, the New Orleans Pelicans. Cole, what one question does the Pelicans have to answer in these playoffs?
Is Ingram coming back? Is Ingram coming back? I feel as though the Pelicans are a very balanced team. They have arguably the best perimeter defender in the league. They know how to sit down and play very composed, but without your leading scorer, like, what are you gonna do? You know,
what do you think of Brandon Ingram, Cole, as an individual player? Like, rank him. Give me a report card grade on what you think of his play on a good night.
On a good night, I think Brandon Ingram is like a B plus player. It's like a B plus player. He scores just as much as his team needs, pretty much. But he's not gonna be a superstar or anything like that.
Is it time for him to go? That's where I'm kind of leading to. Like, I'm wondering if New Orleans is hindering this prime window of his career. I don't really see the maximum success that he could have for his career, even individually as far as accolades. I don't see it working out in New Orleans for him.
I think this playoffs would have been the measuring stick to see what he should do with his career. They have a really well-balanced team, and they've been running a really good philosophy. So I think this playoffs would have been it. So that's why I said it all depends on him coming back and testing that out for himself.
Gotcha. Number 8, Hank, is the Sacramento Kings. What's the one question the Sacramento Kings must answer in these playoffs?
I guess can they take the next step? I mean, they kind of fell back this year. They were in the playoffs last year, if I'm not mistaken. So now they're in the play-in pretty much. And then they have to fight to get to the playoffs. And then can you get to the second round? So can you make a step forward? Because right now they're kind of in a worse spot, in limbo.
Got you. Number 9 is the Los Angeles Lakers. The one question that I would have for our Lakers going into the playoffs is, does all the guys understand and understand their role? Truly, does everybody know what their job is going into April, coach included? Does everybody understand their assignment? It's my biggest thing. If we understand that, it's all about making and missing to me. For some of these early games in the playoffs. So that's my one question for the Lakers. Do you guys understand your assignment? Last but not least, the Golden State Warriors. Ooh. Cole, family, what's the one question Steph and them boys must answer in the playoffs?
Steve Kerr, are you going to go out like Doc Rivers?
Talk that talk.
I don't want to call myself a Warriors hater, but I'm a Lakers fan. But I can honestly say that there's certain moves that they could have made and certain lineups that they could have put out, like not playing Trayce Jackson-Davis while Draymond was injured in the starting lineup. Stupid.
Yep.
So it's like, Kerr, are you going to go out like Doc Rivers? Is your team going to crash and burn this year because of your either your rotations or your lack thereof?
I agree. Well, very interesting questions. You guys in the comments section of Lakerland, y'all let us know as well when it comes to the Western Conference. What's that one question each of those playoff teams must answer in your eyes? Y'all let us know. This is Lakerland Episode 6, 7 Mitchell, Hank, Cole. We in the building. Shout out to our brother BA as well from Get Your Bars Up Media. We about to get into our last topic here at the podcast. So you guys make sure y'all smash that like button for us. Help us get this video out to the NBA community. And if you are new to this platform, do us a huge favor and subscribe as well. Follow us on social media. We everywhere locked in. Hashtag Lakerland. You'll definitely find us somewhere popping around talking about the purple and gold. Getting into the last topic of this podcast, fellas. MVP, biggest shock and biggest surprise of this season. Who, fellas, are your MVP for the regular season? What was the biggest shock of the season to you? And who was the biggest surprise this season in your eyes? Cole, I'll start off with you, gang. Who is your regular season MVP at this point?
Anthony Marshawn Davis, man.
For the league.
Oh, for the league?
For the league. I'm sorry, for the league. Oh, yeah,
for the league? I'm going to say Jokic.
Jokic.
Yeah. If Luka was seated higher, I would have said Luka, but it's Jokic.
Got you. What was the biggest shock of the NBA season to you this year?
Man, honestly, the biggest shock was the Harden trade. The Harden trade was crazy. And then they went on a run, and I thought it was over. But they came back down to earth. So I had to say the Harden trade for sure.
Whether it was an individual player or a team as a whole, what was the biggest surprise to you, Cole, this season? Bad or good?
I'm sorry. The biggest surprise?
Mm-hmm.
This is a good one. The Magic's defense.
Orlando?
The Magic's defense is crazy. Yeah, the Magic's defense is crazy. We finally got a season where Jonathan Isaac stayed healthy, and boy, you could see it. Jalen Suggs as well.
Yep.
Oh, you stole my surprise. I was going to put that as my surprise team.
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Well, Hank, who do you have as your MVP for this season? Cole going with Jokic? I agree. I think Jokic. I mean, if Shea was able to get the number one spot, then I would probably go with him.
None of that.
Thumbs down. Yeah. Who you got for the MVP?
My guy just came back. MVP's Embiid.
Really?
Yeah.
He don't qualify.
I know, but he was the MVP. He didn't get hurt. That was the MVP. To me, Jokic got it by default. And I still don't like how they don't got Tatum in the mix. Got the number one team. So, I know you looking like that. I still think that qualifies. Yeah, don't put that in the mix no more.
We are done with the 80s, bro. No more best player, best team. He's not as good as those other players, man. He just not. he shouldn't be in the combo.
I don't know. I think he should. We got SGA in the conversation.
He's playing better.
I told you Jalen should be in the conversation, but you know the real MVP is hurt. Was hurt. Embiid.
What about the biggest shock of the year to you? Whether it was a player, team, or a storyline, what was the biggest shock of the NBA season for you?
We said with that, I forgot about that. The Clippers thing, yeah. I made that comment. I thought they was gonna be trash. BA said, "Nah, they're gonna be good." I agree with that, but I'm gonna say in the East, both the Knicks and the Cavs have surprised me a little bit. Okay. They both were struggling. They both had that spurt where they just took over their conference for a minute, and they both fizzled down a little bit. Injuries for the Knicks. And same thing with the Cavs, but you know, they're still in the playoffs. But yeah, they were kind of a surprise. They looked like they was about to be number one seeds almost for a minute.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think my MVP for this regular season, if all things remain the same, it will probably be Nikola Jokic as my MVP. Let's get Bit in here real quick for the last topic. Yeah. Bit, what's the word, gang?
Okay.
What's the word? Salute, my G. What's goody?
How y'all doing, man?
Oh, I'm good.
We cooling, man. You see the season is wrapping up. We about to turn it up. But getting back to it, man, I got Nikola Jokic, I would say, overall is the MVP this season. My biggest shock this season, I think, is the turnout of the in-season tournament. I was really shocked on how people embraced this in-season tournament and how it really didn't mess up the season. So that was definitely a shock to me because I wasn't sold on the whole idea. And the biggest surprise of the season to me has to be the Doc Rivers effect, because I never seen it coming. Regardless of me having to bet with BA and D Money that Milwaukee wasn't going to win 58 games, I never saw Doc Rivers' presence down the pipeline at all. So that just really solidified the surprise.
Some wings.
Yeah, got me some wings. That's right. That's a fact. Before we get up out of here, Bit, since we got you on here, who would you say, bro, in your opinion, is the MVP for the season?
Shit. I would say Jokic, but I don't want to give him another MVP.
That's what it seemed like. The streets ain't really trying to give Jokic this. What it seemed like.
I'd give it to Tatum, bro.
Jason?
Yeah, show some respect on Tatum, man.
We best back with the 80s.
Best team in the league.
With the 80s.
Best team in the league. Give St. Louis some respect, man. Break out the best roster in the league. I give it to Tatum though, bro, because they got the best record in the league. Even though he got a good team with him, he leading his team. He doing what's necessary to win. He right. might take a step back scoring, but his defense is there. The playmaking is there. He's available.
Are we judging JT on a different measuring curve than any of other people? It seems like we are.
Hell
not
yeah.
if we are.
Hell yeah. The nigga,
but he made his own bid doing
five
that.
Five conference finals, and they act like he's just a bum.
He done had a winning record every year and have never been in MVP conversation.
My bad. It might have been four. But Tatum, he only 26, and he's been to four conference finals. Regardless of his team, he done stepped up. He done had his moments where he failed in the finals. He got there, failed. He going to get back.
Yeah.
But if they don't do it this year, man, I don't know.
Shit, crazy.
You better get your MVP and tighten up.
What's your thoughts on the Lakers, bro? I haven't really tapped in with you, Bit, since we were doing Lakerland on Players' Choice. The season is damn near over. What's your thoughts on this team, and what's your expectations when we talk about playoffs?
Really, it's just the same thing as last year. Can we beat Denver? That's the
same shit.
That's the only team I'm worried about is Denver. If we play them first round, we just gonna have to get them out of the way. But D-Lo, he hooping. AR, he picked it up second half just like last year.
Yep.
I'm disappointed in Gabe Vincent. I thought he was going to be way better and more available than what the hell happened this year.
Vando, another injury riddle year. But if as long as we get them back for the playoffs and they can play spot minutes for certain series, then we'll be straight. But other than that, you got Bron shooting 41 from three. AD is healthy. D'Lo is hooping. He said he wanted to be Derrick White, and that's who he was.
Hachimura coming out to play too. Rui's coming out to play. Jackson Hayes is coming into his own.
Vando gonna be back, right?
Rui early.
Vando's coming back.
Like, it looked like Rui didn't learn nothing in the offseason. He was just rim running, but as the season went on, he picked it up. So we're gonna be straight. Can we beat Denver though? Can we beat Denver? Is Jokic gonna be getting one legged fadeaways and shit?
Yeah, hopefully they can beat themselves, bro. You know, hopefully. Some type of inefficiency come from down that organization. We'll have to see how this shit plays out. What'd you say, bro? The Diddler?
Get him out of there, AR. I'm him. Two of Memphis Grizzlies first round. Get him out of there.
Talk that shit. You already know. All right, fellas, this is a wrap. Episode number 6 of Lakerland is officially in the books. Shout out to the whole NBA community, man. So again, just a brief reminder, people, if you guys want to join us for all our Laker watch parties, we are live for all the Lakers games exclusively on playback.tv. Come over to playback.tv/Lakerland. We'll give you guys free VIP access to kick it with us as we watch all the Laker games. We also have content over there as well on Playback that we go live and chop it up. So make sure y'all show us support. Subscribe to this channel and definitely smash that like button for us as we are in heavy rotation. We'll be back week with episode 7 of the Lakerland podcast. And, of course, throughout the week, I'll be going live and doing a lot of open panels and stuff like that. So we are getting things in traction. Hank, let everybody know where they can follow you, bro, before we get up out of here.
Oh, yeah. My platform, Sports Game Vision, all the platforms, but I believe on X or Twitter, it's SGV Talks. But, yeah, we got the podcast every Friday, 6 p.m. Come chop it up, and that's about it. Chopping videos.
Yes, sir, man. Shout out to Cole. Shout out to B.A. Big shout out to my brother, Bit. It's good seeing you, bro. I definitely appreciate you pulling up. We do the podcast here every weekend, usually every Saturday or Sunday, depending on, but we try to do a podcast episode every weekend. And then I'm about to start doing live streams on the stream, y'all, throughout the week, open panels, man. So whenever you available to pop up, man, you know, come fuck with us.
Man, you know I'm going to tap in, bro. One thing before I go, bro.
Yes, sir.
We told people at the beginning of the year that Damian Yana shit was not
going
to be
not going to fucking work.
Oh my goodness, boy.
I want some wings off of them niggas, bro. I'm about to eat good. I'm just waiting for BA. BA, I'm about to knock on your door. It's time to pay the paper.
Is BA
is the new Skip Bayless. And BA was just in here. So we're gonna make sure that BA is back.
Yeah, I gotta talk to Skip.
No doubt. So we'll catch you guys next week here on Lakerland. Y'all stay safe, and we are out. Peace, fellas.
Peace.
Yes, sir.